me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello, everybody. Are you spending your day walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling your own destiny? It's a tricky road to walk sometimes. We all know that, but I think we all do our best. I know I do. I want to welcome you to Purpose Talk Radio today. This is Jan Revell, your host, and I have two guests today, Golda Paretsky and Leah Shapiro. And I'm really excited to talk with them because they're not your average everyday spiritual leader. I don't know that there is any average everyday spiritual leader, but hey, you know, we'll just know that these ladies are different. So I'm pretty excited to be able to talk with them. I'm getting myself all mixed up here, which is pretty typical, isn't it? I try and get all organized, and then I get a little bit, off the beaten track. Anyway, here I am. So today is July 22nd. I'm pretty excited to have you here and to be here with you. Once again, I'm in Gresham, Oregon, rather than Sedona. And it is lovely and cool here. As a matter of fact, I have on a t-shirt with sleeves, which is unusual for me. I don't think I've had a t-shirt with sleeves on for several years now. So that's pretty exciting. I want to remind you that our theme song is I Am Who I Am. It's by the group True Trinity. And you can find them at TrueTrinity.com, where you can listen to the music, you can purchase the music, and you can listen to some of their other songs as well. I'd like to invite you to join us at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook. So go to Facebook and do a search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group and request to join, and Cindy will be glad to invite you in or to get you into the group so you can join the conversations that go on during the show and following the show. And Golda and Leah will also hopefully have time to join us there once the show is over. I just want you to know also that I have pulled, for some reason, four extra cards today. So following the interviews, if you would like to have a reading, you are welcome to call in. I'll give you that number. It's 347-205-9074. I'll repeat it, 347-205-9074. And that's the number to call if you'd like to speak with my guests or with me, or after following the interviews, if you would like to have a reading, a card reading, then you can call in that number. You can also, if you're outside of the United States, you can use Skype. And all you need to do is go to blogtalkradio.com and create an account with them. It's a free account. And then you can Skype into the show today, if you'd like to do that. So I want to also let you know that you can, well, one of the things I want to let you know is about PurposeTalkRadio.com. Every week I make sure that we have our guests listed, a nice page. We could do a guest page for each of our guests on PurposeTalkRadio.com, where you can go and find out more about them. You can find links to connect to them, and you can also find past guests, their pages, and you can listen to archives from the shows, the past shows. So I'd invite you to go there, purposetalkradio.com. And on that page, there is also a donate button and a sponsor button. So you can donate towards the show if you would like, and you can also become a sponsor of the show. And that's really an awesome thing. It's $25 a month or $20 a month if you commit to 3 months or more. And you get to be listed on the show live at the beginning and at the end of the show. You get a banner on our PurposeTalkRadio.com website. And you get to be listed also on Purpose Talk Radio on Facebook page and in the conversations group. So there's lots that you get for a minimal investment. So I invite you to go and sign up there. If you have any questions, you can contact me. My address is Jan at purposetalkradio.com. So today there were two oracle cards that showed up for the show, and I'd like to give you the information on those cards right now. And the first card is called The Womb. I think this is going to be pretty, both of these are going to be very relevant to today's show. So again, the first card is called The Womb, and it shows a woman, a young woman, who is supported on either side by an angel. The angels have white robes on, and the young woman just has a gown on, and she has the angel's hands are supporting her elbows, and her hands are up towards her shoulders. And inside of her, you can see a baby walking toward us. So the baby's hands are also raised, and that baby's taking steps. So it's more than a baby. It's ready to come out and do its thing. So this is to remind you, all of us, that if you have some sort of project that you're working on, this, and this baby relates to whether you have an physical baby that is being born and you are pregnant with that child right now, or if you're pregnant with a project that you are birthing. And I relate to this card directly because there is this project called the Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers MP3 ebook that's coming up. And both Golda and Leah have been interviewed for this book called Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers, Contemporary Women Spiritual Leaders. So again, this card, The Womb, shows this baby ready to be birthed. And the angels are supporting this woman on either side. So reminding you that whether you are birthing a child or whether you are birthing a project of some sort, that child and that project is ready to be birthed, and you have angelic support on both sides of you. The second card is called The Coat. And it reminisces of Joseph's coat of many colors. It shows a young woman who has this really beautiful coat on that is all rose color with trim that goes up the front and on either side. And actually, even in the middle, I'm not quite sure how it fastens, but it's absolutely ornate. It is a beautiful, beautiful coat. And wow. And she looks like a bride, actually. It's this amazing coat and she's wearing a veil. She does look like a bride. So once again, you've got something that is, you're coming into a new life, a new space. You are coming into, anybody who is a bride is coming into a new life, is coming into a new awareness, is coming into a new sense of self and of purpose. And I think, and this is a perfect year, this 2013 is the perfect year to be coming into that space for yourself, into a new sense of purpose, into a new life, into a new awareness of who you are. So those are the cards for today, The Womb and The Coat. And I invite you to, if you would like to call in after the interviews, you are welcome to do so. So we're going to move on, and I am going to invite, I'm going to get Golda in first of all. Let me find, here she is, Golda. I'm going to get Golda into the show first, and we're going to talk with her a little bit, and then we'll bring Leah in. So Golda, welcome to the show. This is Jan. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I'm very
all right.
Happy to talk to you.
I'm excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit, if you would, about who you are and where you came from, kind of, and your passion and how you discovered your passion.
Well, I am, I'm a coach. I specialize in body image and intuitive eating, getting off the dieting cycle. I work mostly with plus-sized women. I use that term. I personally refer to myself as fat. I use the word fat. I'm part of the fat acceptance movement. I love to work with especially plus-sized women. My journey with all this is, in some ways it's a lot like a lot of people's. You know, I started dieting at a very young age, and I really believed that that weight loss was kind of the key to everything, the key to the kingdom, the way to, you know, have a wonderful life. So, you know, and I started really young, at age four. I literally started at age four dieting. So,
You're kidding. Age four?
No, I'm not kidding. I recently did a TEDx talk where I brought this up and I talked about it a little bit. I started at four. I was getting teased at nursery school, and my mom, who is a very loving and wonderful person, she suggested it, you know, because that had been her experience, you know, of, you know, she was always on a diet and she had been teased. And so she understood that. And, you know, she sort of wanted me to not have that experience. So, you know, I went on some sort of diet and, you know, it started me off on literally 24 years of lots and lots of different diets, mostly prescribed by doctors, you know, mostly either those or ones like Weight Watchers, like the big ones, Atkins, Weight Watchers, all that stuff. So, you know, and like most people, you know, I would lose some weight and gain it back, usually more or plus more, which is the experience of 83% of people. Generally, 95% gain back all the weight, 83% at least gain back more than what they lost. But we all don't know that. You know, most people don't know that, and so you feel like a failure. Anyway, so that was my experience for a number of years, and then I had a bit of an epiphany where I just realized, like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't, I'm so tired of this. There has to be another way. You know, maybe I can just accept my body. And I, you know, luckily the internet at that point was around and I was able to find some body positive blogs and things like that. And I, you know, really explored that and worked through a lot of things with myself around food and body image. And, at the time, I was an attorney. I was a practicing lawyer for a number of years, and then I eventually moved into coaching. my story is like all over the place, but basically, I had gone to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition while I was working as a lawyer. Didn't think I was ever going to do anything with it, but then I ended up through a series of events, completely changing careers, and for the last 5 years or so, this is what I do full time. Of, you know, working with women who are sick of dieting and want to learn another approach.
So how many, are there any statistics on how many women fit that category? They're sick of dieting and they want another approach.
I don't know. I have not seen any. And it's. I always feel like it's an interesting moment when a new client comes into my life, because I've found that the ones who really dive in and really dig it are the ones who are really sick of dieting and really sick of the ups and downs, and, you know, have been on enough diets to realize that they don't work and it's not worthy of them, you know, and that they've spent their life focusing on this problem. I wish I had a number for you. I don't know. And part of the problem is that, you know, the real deal on diets, you know, it doesn't necessarily penetrate into the media that we live in. And so people are all sort of living in their own bubbles, believing that they're failing. You know, they just don't have enough willpower, there's something wrong with them, all this kind of stuff. When in reality, you know, if you gain back the weight on a diet, you're completely and totally normal. You know, you're part of, you know, a group of 95% of dieters. And the 5% that keep it off, they're not usually keeping off very much weight either. It's usually a couple of pounds. You know, and then there are the outliers, the people that, you know, keep it off for a very long time, but they're really few and far between, and that's what everyone's sort of measuring their success against, you know, as opposed to the vast, vast, vast majority of people who, you know, don't keep it off, know, they lose weight and gain it back. And so, you know, that's why my approach is all about, you know, what do you want to do now? What do you want your life to look like now? How do you want to feel now? You know, let's take away this precondition of, oh, I've got to lose weight to do X, Y, Z, and let's just do X, Y, Z, you know? And it's a, so, yeah, I feel like I'm going on tangents, so feel free to rein me in, you know, and, yeah.
Well, I do have a question.
Sure.
As far as the work that you're doing and the coaching work that you're doing, and spirituality, because you have been directed to me as a spiritual leader. So how do those work together?
Well, I think they work together quite well. You know, one of the reasons why I do this work is because I think it's a source of peace. You know, I think that most women really are going around feeling conflict with their bodies, feeling like they're at war with their bodies. And you know, to me, it's a spiritual sort of practice to change the way you think about your own body, to see it as divine, to see it as a source of pleasure, to think about feeding your body and loving your body in a from a place of love and from a place of approval, and a sort of understanding of your own divinity. So, you know, for example, I had a group coaching program called the Big Beautiful Goddess Academy, and I don't take that word goddess lightly. You know, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes you hear goddess as referring just generally to a plus size woman or whatever, or women in general, and that's great. But you know, with some of my clients, I don't do this with everybody, but with a lot of my clients, I try to bring in the sort of divine feminine goddess type principles, and allow them to, you know, just see their bodies in a different way, see them as goddessly, right? And also approach their lives in that way, so that, you know, so that they assert their needs and set boundaries and express themselves, and, you know, all the kind of things that you would think of, you know, of a goddess from various cultures. You know, goddesses don't put up with a lot of stuff that they don't like, you know. they do what they want, you know, and they will, you know, their wrath will be upon you if you don't listen to them. So to get in touch with that, to get in touch with the emotions of that, but definitely seeing your own body as divine and worthy of love and appreciation and adornment, all that kind of stuff definitely plays in, you know, with most of my clients. Some of my clients aren't that into it, so we kind of don't do it, you know, but other ones are, so, yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, when you think back on some of the classical artists, the master artists, and every picture that they ever painted of a goddess was a plus-size woman.
Often, yeah,
They never, ever painted somebody who was thin. In fact, I don't know if any woman was thin in those days. So it's interesting how our culture has turned the woman, actually, the smaller a woman is, the more boy-like she looks, mm-hmm. and the more like a young man she looks, which is an interesting thing that goes away from the real female, feminine, the plus-size female, who obviously is female, is woman.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's a real, you know, I think in many ways, you know, I'm not the only person who talks about this, but, you know, I feel like the sort of divine masculine is so much more approved of in our culture than divine
right.
feminine. And so, you know, divine masculine is like all about, you know, goal. I mean, dieting is very aligned to me with the divine masculine. It's about goals, you know, setting a goal and meeting it, and, you know, not paying attention to how you feel, just you know, following the rules and, you know, this kind of thing. And so, in a lot of ways, you know, the work I do is about connecting with the divine feminine and understanding that, you know, your body is not your enemy. Your body is not something that's meant to be controlled. You know, that you can have sort of desires, but to set certain goals around your body just doesn't make sense, you know, and mm-hmm. And also, you know, as you were saying, this connection with abundance, I talk about a lot, and like abundant, the idea, you know, abundance to me is very like divine feminine and a fear of abundance, a fear of abundant flesh really is to me, you know, so to connect with that fleshiness and claim it as your own and claim it as, you know, goddessly, is a big deal. Big deal.
I've also noticed that I know we have a lot of young people who are, well, you started out at age 4 being teased for being oversized. But I noticed, I know that when I spent time in Europe, it seemed like the girls, well, and the boys, it didn't make any difference if you were male or female, but the slender shape and form was all up until about age 25 or maybe into the 30s. And then everybody started becoming more robust in their physical form, and it was really almost a sign of maturity. So I wonder.
I think you're right on too. I mean, this sort of idea of you know, people do sort of naturally, you know, most people, I mean, there are genetic components and other things, but most people do sort of get fatter as they get older. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think there is a component of sort of ageism too, you know, that it's looked on as a bad thing. I mean, you know, there's it's like, well, and also there are plenty of kids who are all different sizes or, you know, and that we should be respecting this diversity, you know, that the diversity of bodies is a good thing. We don't all have to look the same way. We don't all have to have the same body type, and we don't. And so why should we be telling people at one end of the spectrum that they're supposed to look good, people at the other end? Instead, why don't we just, you know, approve of it all?
Golda, I can just feel Leah chomping at the bit to get in on this conversation. So I'm going to bring Leah in. Hi, Leah. I can feel you wanting to just be in on this conversation. So So here you are. You have an opportunity to just jump into the conversation, or we can back up a little bit and find out more about you and what you, where you came from, and or your background, a little bit of background, your passion, and how you got there. So,
I'll jump right in because this resonates so deeply with me, and work that I do. I mean, I don't work with women around body image and, you know, weight loss, but I do work with women around self-love, and I think it all comes down to the same thing. Like, we're given messages our whole lives that we're supposed to look, act, and be a certain way, and, like, how can you really embrace who you are, and how can you love your body when you're being told your whole life that what you are is wrong? Like, I was also, like, told that I need to lose weight for most of my life. Like, from the time I was a little kid, and I remember my grandmother telling me, you're never going to marry you'll never marry a rich man if you don't lose weight. Like, that was like it was the key to my future, you know, lose weight, and then my life would be great. But, like, I turned that around and was like, I'm going to have my own money. Like, I don't need a man to, like, have my life. Like, and that's part of why I do what I do now and who I am now. But, like, I totally, like, resonate with what you're talking about. And, like, I have been like, yeah, in the background. Everything you guys have been saying.
See, I knew you were there. I could just feel it coming mm-hmm. through the wires going, holy mackerel.
Let's
pick up a little bit and talk about you just a little bit. And then we'll get back to this, then we'll meld the conversations. So tell us a little bit about Leah and your background and your passion and how you got where you did, or how you discovered your passion.
Sure. Well, I used to be very angry. I was angry because I felt that someone was always telling me that I needed to be different than I was.
Mm.
And I thought I was pretty freaking fabulous. Like, I was good at everything that I did. I was a good kid. I didn't get in trouble. I was smart. I was, like, an athlete. I got as high as I could go. I did track and field, and I always won in my field events. Like, I was the winner always. And, like, I felt like I didn't really get recognized for that. I had two brothers. My older brother was a superstar, and he was the one that everyone was focusing their attention. He was perfect, you know.
Yeah.
And here I was, overweight, not being a proper lady, you know. I was always kind of like a rabble-rouser. Well, I just always had my own way of doing things. And I was very committed to that.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
It seems to me that and I identify with this somewhat, but overweight and track and field and winning don't really go together. I mean,
you
think of people who are overweight as not being the fastest on track and field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I didn't run. I did field events. I did the discus and the shot put and the javelin.
Okay.
And
all right.
I won at my events all the time. I was very strong. Like, if you meet me in person, I'm a big person. I'm 5'10". I have broad shoulders. When I was younger, I used to be really muscular because I was pretty athletic. And I was just, you know, I was a strong woman. And it was very clear. And now looking back, like, I see pictures of myself in high school when I thought I was overweight. And I looked fabulous, but I just wasn't the norm, you know. So, like, that was projected on me. But I was really angry. Growing up, but I was also driven and successful. I wanted to have what I wanted, and I always could create whatever I wanted. But, like, it didn't feel right to me. And I was going to school for food service, like, management. I wanted to be run restaurants, and I got recruited right out of college, and I, you know, got a job making a ton of money, more money than my mother had ever made when I was 20 years old. Like, she couldn't believe it. This daughter of hers, who wasn't the ideal daughter, was making more money than she ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
And I kind of just went away from my family and did my own thing for a while, but I was still angry. And I realized that there was more for me. I wanted to help people live lives that they wanted to live. And I went to school and got a degree in social psychology. But the traditional dynamic of therapy did not appeal to me. I didn't want to muck around in problems. I wanted to help people change their lives. Like, if you don't like it, let's change it. Like, that's always been the underlying dynamic in my life. If something's not working for me, I'm going to do something different. If I don't like my job or something's not as efficient as it could be, I'm going to change it. And I couldn't find, like, a counseling dynamic that worked for me. Now, looking, there's all kinds of cool things you can do as a therapist. But at the point when I graduated in the early 90s, didn't seem like that many options. So I stayed in the restaurant business. I was making tons and tons of money, and I had unlimited possibilities. But this life that looked really, really good on paper did not feel good to me, and I bitched and moaned and complained about it all the time. I was miserable. Mm-hmm. I was sick all the time. I just, like, was partying like a rock star. I was a big consumer. I was spending tons of money, all in the effort to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
And then I saw Dr. Phil on Oprah, believe it or not. I sound so funny, but I saw him, like, I loved the way he was working with people. And he was like, so what is it, like, what's not working for you? What's your role in it? And what are you going to do about it? And I was like, that is what I want to do. And I kind of sat with it for a while. And then I had a big spiritual awakening. I was, like, totally burnt out and fried in my restaurant job. And I just needed a break. And matter of fact, I went into work and said, God, I just need a break, because I went and saw that I had 6 days on instead of five, and I was totally burnt out and tired and just needed some time off. And that afternoon, I went out to Whole Foods to go grocery shopping, stumbled off the curb with two big bags of groceries, and it's a big dramatic fall into the street, and broke my foot and severely sprained my ankle. So I was out of work for 6 weeks with nothing. Like, just had to lay down on my back for three of those weeks before I could even stand up and walk around. And during that time, I read the book, The Four Agreements. I had it on my shelf probably for 3 years prior to that, but I had never read it. And The Mastery of Love, both by Don Miguel Ruiz. And something inside me shifted when I read those books. First off, I got that. Everybody wasn't doing things to piss me off. Like, people weren't trying to make me mad. I was angry. It was all about me. Nobody was doing anything to me. I was not a victim. I could change my perspective on how I was looking at everything. And I really, like, embraced the Four Agreements. I stopped taking things personally. I realized I was doing my best. I stopped assuming. And I started to really pay attention to how I was speaking. And then The Mastery of Love, like, anchored that in then even farther and made me truly see that I was perceiving things through my own, like, expectations. I wasn't really seeing and being present and real with what was going on. And so it just created this huge opening and shift for me. And I decided I was going to go to coaching school. I quit my job. I decided I was going to live on my savings and trust that I was going to be supported. The universe was going to take care of me. I entered into a 2 years women's mystery school called the Priestess Path Apprenticeship, and I did that. And so for 2 years, I basically, like, shook my brain around and opened up my head and stirred things up and, like, questioned everything I believed in and just kind of let my life fall back into place around me. And what I really got from that and I walked away with was some of the work I did was around, like, embracing the law of attraction and really understanding how energy works and flows in my life. And did a lot of work around my beliefs and my thoughts and where I was focusing my attention. And I realized that I am the source of my experience and I can create anything I want in my life. It's all about where I'm focusing my attention, the energy I'm embodying, and how I'm showing up in the world. Like, it all comes from me. So I feel like I kind of, like, was able to take back my power around creating a life I wanted to live. And it just shifted everything. Like, all suddenly, you know, I have a coaching business and I'm, you know, living in a new apartment and just surrounded by people that I totally love and enjoy hanging out with. And life was really awesome. I had I had my coaching business Defy the Box for a long time. I worked with people who wanted to break free from their prepackaged lives. And it was all about recognizing these stories that we live inside of, how society tells us and teaches us who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live, what we're supposed to look like, what our love life looks like, what do you have to do to be successful, and to recognize that we live inside of these stories. And for people like me, like, I'm a nonconformist to the very end. I'm not a joiner. I kind of like to take a whole bunch of different ideas and perspectives and shift them and shape them and put them into my own form. And like, living this prepackaged life totally didn't work for me. I needed to break free of that and create a life that I want to live. And that's what I helped other people do. But then after doing this work for a long time, I had this huge awakening and realized that it's not about what other people say, like the expectations our family put on us and like what society's showing us. Sure, those things inform what we're doing as adults, but really the only thing that's preventing us from living a life that we really want to live is our own stories and thoughts about doing it. Like, the only thing preventing us from having everything we desire is our story saying we can't have it. So I had this shift to a more of a self-awareness, self-love focus, where it's like, yes, we grow up in a society that likes to create people, and we are taught to believe certain things about how the world works, but it really comes down to you and how you feel and what is possible for you. And now I work with people around tuning into their alignment and creating from a place of alignment and paying attention to how your energy feels and if you feel constricted or expansive and really unleashing yourself from the crap that prevents you from living the life you want to live. Because as soon as you start recognizing that there's this whole world of stories going on in your head that aren't necessarily true for you, you can choose to believe them or not. the more you begin to realize what's going on in your head and paying attention to those stories and paying attention to how you feel and looking for your alignment, the easier it is to create the life you want to live. It's like you just got to unhook yourself from that stuff. And
so
that's where I am right now.
Is it to some extent creating a new story? You're writing a whole new story for yourself?
Yeah, that's part of it. Matter of fact, I talk about rewriting your story. But I think also sometimes it's just being willing to recognize, like, I call them the bitches, like when the bitches are activated in your head and, like, if you're going to choose to believe them or not. Like, what do you want to tell yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And just being aware that this other stuff is going on, but if it doesn't feel good to you, if it's like, where's your alignment? How do you feel in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel constricted, limited, shut down, stuck? Then you're not in the right headed in the right direction, or it's time to shift away from those thoughts. And if you feel expansive and joyful, or like there's possibilities and potential, then that's the direction you want to head in. So it's really about paying attention to how you feel, tuning into your alignment, and really be able to create some space between you and the inner dialogue.
So that sounds a lot very similar to the work that Golda, that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's interesting. I think we share a lot of similar experiences, and you know, just I get the career transition part of
mm-hmm.
it, and you know, feeling like you're achieving in all of these ways, but yet not getting recognized for it. So and now the work she's doing now, that Leah's doing now, it's awesome. Sounds really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So Leah, are you also working with women who are plus size, or are you open to men and women? Or, and Golda, I asked the same question to you. Do you get men and women in your coaching practice, or is it mostly women? Well, I'm assuming mostly women, because most of this work seems to be women who are doing it. So.
Yeah, I mostly work with women. I had a couple of men clients. I also have, you know, I just want to put it out there. I also have, you know, gender queer clients and trans clients. So, you know, I'd say probably, you know, 85% of my clients identify as, you know, as women. I work with people who are also not quote unquote plus size too, because you can have these issues and be a size 6. You know, the issue is there. You know, I focus on plus size women, but you know, I would never not work with somebody because they're not, you know, a size 14 and up. I'll just, that would not happen. Sorry, just putting that out there. Yeah.
So some of the work that you do with the plus size people, how is it that these issues apply to somebody who's a size 6?
Well, the thing is that,
or maybe I should ask, you know, what are the issues that
seem to be
in common?
I mean, the thing is that I always say that, you know, weight stigma, weight oppression, it affects everybody, because even it affects thin people too. Because being bigger is so denigrated in our society, there are lots of thin people who are very afraid of becoming fat, because you do, you know, get stigmatized. So there, and there are thin women, you know, what's interesting about it too is, like, for example, there are fat women who barely eat, and they will likely never get diagnosed with anorexia because they don't present as underweight. So, you know, and similarly, there are thin women who have, you know, binge eating issues, but they are just thin, you know, so it doesn't always show up visibly in a person. So sometimes I've worked with thin women who had some serious binge eating issues that sort of were considered not a big deal because they were thin. And sort of, so they didn't get support in that way. Just as fatter women who are basically not eating will be told, oh, you're doing the right thing, as opposed to saying, oh, you need help. So
yeah.
Even if they're not experiencing the issue in the same way, or it's not showing up in their bodies in the same way, it's still the same issues, you know. So it can definitely show up. And even, you know, a size 6 woman who's been dieting her whole life and goes between a 10 and a 4 or something, it's going to have similar issues, if not, but may not experience the same amount of stigma as someone who's been dieting their whole life and goes between a, you know, a 14 and a, you know, or 16 and a 30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So what about the person who does in fact have anorexia, who is anorexic, who's a size 2 when they're, you know, what about that kind of a person? Are they somebody that who's going to look to you to work with you, or, and Leah, jump in here as well. How do you, what kind of encouragement or advice or wisdom do you give those women?
Yeah.
Or do they even show up?
They don't really, they often don't show up to me, because I'm sort of their worst nightmare in a lot of ways. You know, I'm not only physically their worst nightmare, I'm also, they don't necessarily want to hear an intuitive eating approach from me, you know. So, and generally, if someone has symptoms that are that severe, you know, I often will also refer them to somebody else, you know. But they don't necessarily find their way to me as much as, interestingly, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, thinner people with binge eating issues, bigger people with all kinds of issues. So, I mean, some of my clients don't have food issues, really. You know, they're really coming to me to talk about body image. And actually, as my practice has progressed, I'm focusing more and more on body image and changing that, helping people change that. But, I mean, I do address food, too, because it just all rolls in together. Yeah.
So go ahead, Leah. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, it seems like what's underneath all that really is self-love, right? Like, mm-hmm. like loving yourself, like feeding yourself what you want, like what you need to have. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this work. I was doing some money work, like taking a class on money, and I was realizing that my money stuff feels really a lot like my food stuff. Like, is there enough? Or, like, you open the refrigerator, like, I don't know what I want. Like, I don't know. The energies of the two things feel really familiar. And now that I've been, like, diving into this, it seems to me like it's really about, like taking care of myself and pampering myself and nurturing myself and really loving myself. And money or food was just, an outside way to do that. But what it really comes down to is, like, really being okay with who I am inside and, like, realizing the crap that is in my head, like, all the stories I have that say that I'm not. So do you know that, Golda?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's all sort of a symptom, right? It all comes mm-hmm. down. I totally agree. It comes down to loving yourself, treating yourself well, approving of yourself. I mean, all of that for sure. And whether you kind of manage the difficult feelings of that through food or money or, you know, whatever, it does. It does come down to sort of your place in the world and how you feel about it and how sort of safe you feel being you and all that. I totally mm-hmm. agree. Yeah.
And it's really interesting, Leah, what you said about looking in the refrigerator and saying, I don't know what I want. And we talk about the law of attraction and how you have to be specific about what you want, mm-hmm. whether it's money, whether it's body image, whether it's food, whatever relating to the two of them, the food and the money is pretty powerful. Because how often, mm-hmm. I know I've looked in the refrigerator many times and said, oh, what do I want? What's here and what do I want?
And it's like, and we think the answer's in there to this thing that we don't know what we want, which really has nothing to do with food at all, you know?
So I have a couple of questions on this body image, and then I want to get back with Leah and a little bit more about what you do as well. But the question on the body image is, there's plus size and then there's obese. So the question is, is there a place where there's a struggle with the two, where medical intervention might be suggested in addition to body acceptance, resulting at body type and what it is, and it's
yeah. I actually don't think so. This is
okay.
a controversial. This may be a
okay.
controversial point, but so I mean, I'm technically morbidly obese, right? This is literally what you know. If I were to look
yeah.
up my BMI, that's what I am, right?
Right.
So and most, you know, I mean, here's the thing. And BMI is just not a good indicator of anything. It really should be tossed out the window. Totally. But here's the where the research is, the real research, the stuff you don't unfortunately hear very much in the media. But, you know, first of all, because weight loss doesn't is so rarely permanent, any sort of benefits that you might get from weight loss are therefore also temporary. And the benefits are almost none to begin with, because there is a slight benefit to being naturally thinner, but we don't find that those benefits are conveyed on fatter people when they lose weight. So, you know, there is like a, you know, you might be slightly less likely to have high blood pressure if you're thin, but being a bigger person and losing weight doesn't necessarily convey that benefit. Sometimes it's a very short-term a benefit that gets conveyed. So, and that's because we don't really know. What we do know is that fat people, that there's a huge genetic component to being fat. It's about the same as height. So, you know, all I'm trying to get at is I don't think that there is any reason to medically intervene with somebody solely because of their weight, because we don't know how to make fatter people thin, and the interventions that we have are more dangerous than letting somebody just inhabit the body that they have. So bariatric surgery is extremely dangerous. Dieting, if you lose more than 15% of your body weight, you've increased your mortality risk. So
really?
You know, I've done that. Yeah, I've done that before. I was on Weight Watchers. I lost about that much. So I've increased my mortality risk just by doing these interventions that were supposedly for my health. The for your health argument is just made up. It's completely made up. It started in the 90s mostly I could go on and on about this, but basically it was a way to sell more diet products. And it's over $60 billion a year industry in the U.S. alone, selling diets and diet products alone. So there, because there's no actual benefit to weight loss, what I recommend is something called Health at Every Size, which the principles of which are a big basis of my practice. And which is very simply, you know, listening to your body, eating in a way that is nourishing and also pays attention to your own hunger and fullness signals, moving your body in ways that are appropriate for your body, and loving your body and understanding that there's a diversity of bodies in the world. And what's amazing about this is that when people actually engage with Health at Every Size principles, they've done studies that show that they actually have better health indicators as a result than they do from a typical sort of, let's say, low-fat weight loss diet. So, mm-hmm. you know, it helps people's cholesterol, their blood pressure, their blood sugar, all these kind of things. But it also and it also allows them to continue on that path. So they don't stop exercising because they haven't lost weight. You know, they don't say, oh, this isn't working, because they're like, oh, I feel better. They pay attention mm-hmm. to things like how their body feels, things like that. So anyway,
yeah.
So yes, I am really against weight loss. I mean, if I have a client who says I still want to lose weight, I'm not going to tell them don't want that. You know, I would never do that, and I respect people's autonomy and their feelings. But at the same time, you know, I would never recommend weight loss to anybody, because it's not healthful, it's not helpful, and it sets you up for, you know, not only health issues, but emotional and mental health issues
right.
that are a big deal. So that's I can
no,
talk
you,
about that for way forever. So I hopefully I got in the key points there.
Okay, well, you wrote an article on The Biggest Loser, and
yeah.
and one of the people was created a problem from that. Would you briefly let us know what that was all about?
Oh, so I wrote an article about The Biggest Loser and why I thought it was horrible. And someone who was actually on The Biggest Loser, she was a finalist in the third season of it, contacted me, and she was like, "I really love what you wrote, and I wanna do an interview with you and tell my story." So we talked, and I put it up on my podcast and my blog. It's actually, it's been 3 years since I wrote this thing, but it still gets out there a lot, and a lot of people see it, which is nice. You know, and she told her story of her experience on The Biggest Loser, and the way they were treated, the way that they were told to dehydrate, the way that they were treated by the producers afterward and during the part where they go home for a while, and basically how it led her to engage with these really anorexic type behaviors. And, you know, so I still get a lot of flack all the time. I don't really worry about it. I get a lot of people contacting me and not liking what I write and stuff. I get more people who do like it, so I know I'm doing something right. But yeah, it's horrible, and it's really scary to me that these shows are so successful, where basically you see fat people getting yelled at and maltreated, and they gain the weight back. They actually sign these contracts where if they talk to the press without the approval of NBC, they can be fined up to $1 million or over $1 million. They have these really draconian contracts that they sign. So that's why you don't hear about it very much. But if you look to older seasons and you see, you know, if there are stories on people, they all gain back the weight. And the same cycle that happens with other dieters, you know, they feel terrible about it and they feel like they failed. But they do it on this grand scale of being on TV, and it's really sad. Yeah.
You said that they make them dehydrate?
Yeah, so they drink a lot of water, like, for their first weigh-in, and then the day of the weigh-in, they are told to not drink anything at all. So for, like, 24 hours, they don't drink anything. They're exercising for, like, 5 to 6 hours a day or more in this gym that, at least in this instance, it often was unair-conditioned. You know, they're supposed to be sweating out everything. It's, you know... And they're exercising with injuries, you know, all this kind of stuff that you kind of think is happening when you see the show, but you're like, it all gets, you know, you don't hear about it and it gets edited out.
Right.
And then they can't talk about gaining all the weight back because they're afraid that they're going to get sued, and it's crazy. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah,
horrible.
It is. Yeah.
Wow. Well. So you help. I'm going to end this. I'm going to segue back to Leah here. So I'm going to say with this that you're helping people to not follow that route, but to go a healthier route. So just tell us a little bit real quickly about this Health at Every Size.
Sure. Health at Every Size. I didn't invent it. It actually came about, I believe, from the early 90s on. And there's a wonderful book called Health at Every Size by Linda Bacon, who is really an expert on this. Health at Every Size is just the concept that, you know, weight loss doesn't work. It's sort of a weight neutral approach to health. And it's based on the real science that's there that says that, you know, healthy habits matter. Right. So if you can get, 30 minutes a day of walking a couple of days a week, if you can, you know, make sure you eat your vegetables, you know, things like that, really basic kind of stuff, not anything as extreme as you might see in the media a lot. These basic habits are really helpful, as well as the practice of really accepting your body, because if you think about it, we hear all the time that stress is really dangerous, right? And if you can imagine the amount of stress that people who diet all the time have, you know, on top of the normal stresses of life, and then you also have the stress of weight stigma. So Health at Every Size to me is a very peace, sort of peace-inducing practice. of accepting your body, loving your body, you know, eating with pleasure and in a way that's, you know, connected to your hunger and fullness, and moving your body. And it's these simple concepts, but it's not, but the key is also that you're saying, I'm going to do all these things for my overall health. I'm not doing them to lose weight. Because what happens is, and I see this with my clients all the time, when you do stuff to lose weight and it doesn't result in weight loss, you stop doing it. So you stop exercising because it doesn't result in weight loss. You stop, you know, oh, I've been cooking these delicious, you know, things with all these vegetables. You stop doing it because it's not resulting in weight loss. And that's, and, you know, that really is hurtful and not helpful and not healthful. So, you know, so Health at Every Size is really about doing the little things you can do right now to improve your health. And it's not about, you know, having perfect health or sort of looking a certain way. It's all about, you know, taking care of your body, self-care, nourishment, and self-love and self-approval. So it's a really powerful way of approaching health. That actually results in better health, you know, as opposed to weight loss, which is, you know, doesn't result in better health and kind of leads you on this path of weight cycling.
Yeah, right. I'm going to have to look at that. I think that sounds really interesting. I know, you know, it's, you find, some of us who haven't gone through any program have finally gotten to the point of saying, I am who I am, and I am going to eat and walk and do whatever makes me feel good, to feel healthy, to feel emotionally good, and that's, and I'm not going to worry about the weight. So it takes away that cycle of win-fail or succeed-fail or whatever, and mostly fail. And it takes that away and allows you to actually become the healthy person that you want to be.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. It really
awesome.
Is. Yeah.
So I want to move to Leah now, and feel free, Golda, to jump in anytime, but I want to move to Leah and talk about flying your freak flag. What is that all about?
Well, flying your freak flag equals being 100% you, and bringing, like, not being afraid to, like, be who you are and bring it out into the world and show people what you got. I came up with this because I found that I work with a lot of women entrepreneurs, and me, I'm my biggest client for sure, but, like, it's really easy to get caught up in this idea of having to do things the right way, and there's a right way to show up and a right way to talk and a right way to write your blog post, and God forbid, you're not supposed to swear and don't show your tattoos and purple hair. Are you crazy? Like, there's, like, all these, like, preconceived ideas about how you're supposed to show up, and, like, I found it to be really constrictive because it, like, made a lot of the thing, parts of who I was wrong. But I discovered that the more and more I showed up fully as me and I flew my freak flag high and proud, the more successful I became. And the more my simply showing up and being me and not, like, editing myself and just and letting people see who I am inspires other people to do the same thing. Like, the most frequent message I get on Facebook or in my inbox from people who I haven't worked with yet is that you inspire me to fly my freak flag, to go after my dreams, to create the life that I want to live. So, like, I think it's really powerful.
Well, I agree with you. I remember I had to, my family lives in the, back with you guys in the Boston area, and I live on the West Coast. And I did that on purpose because that was a good distance for us to maintain good relationships. But one year I wanted to go back there to take a course. It was mindfulness meditation with John Kabat-Zinn at the University of, what is it, the one that's out in Worcester anyway, UMass. And so I decided that I would not tell my family I was going to go there because my impression had been that every time I went there, I basically lived down to their expectations of me. and I always failed. And of course, that was my story. You know, I was living down to the expectations that I thought they had of me, which was pretty poor. And so anyway, I the situation never ended up good. So I decided I'm not going to tell my family I'm going to go back there. I'm just going to go and do my thing and be myself while I'm back there and not have to worry about them or even think about them. Well, I ended up going to Florida to visit with my mother before I headed up to Massachusetts. And of course, I had told her what I was going to do. So she, of course, told the rest of the family. And I was amazed. I said, well, okay, I've made this commitment to be myself and not try and please them, just to be who I am. And we had the best relationship at that period of time than we had ever had in our entire lives.
Mm.
It was phenomenal. That's not to say it was perfect. It's just that it was really phenomenal. It was stunning, the difference in what that the relationship that we had at that period of time. It was really incredible. So that and I felt like I was flying my freak flag. You're absolutely right. So it doesn't have to, you don't have to have tattoos or have purple hair to be a freak, let me tell you.
Nope.
I always think that people, I look normal and I sound normal, I think, and it takes people about 5 minutes to discover that I'm not. And I never have been able to figure that out. But I guess it's just when you, like you, you've got some external evidence to show that you are not, quote unquote, normal.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't, but they still are, would be considered, I consider myself a maverick, you know, a rebel. And people discover it really fast.
Yeah. I was always surprised when, like, I would meet so many people who appeared normal, but they identified as freaks. Like, it's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
I think everybody, like, maybe they don't use the term freak, but so many people identify as not fitting in, not being normal. Mm-hmm. Like there's something about them that's not normal.
Right.
And, you know, I like to turn, like I embrace the word freak because I like to look at it as being something unique and rare. Like we're all freaks. We are all unique and rare. There's nobody else in the world like us. We have our own unique perspective. We have our own unique way of being in the world. We process information differently. Like it's all, we all have like the same basic, you know, parts, but we take information in a little bit differently than each other. And we process it and we interpret it and we perceive things differently. That's the beauty of this world because we all have something unique to share and it's valuable. Like we all are necessary. We each have like that unique piece to the puzzle, the big cosmic puzzle. And so we're all valuable. We're all rare. And if we honored and honored ourselves that way, imagine how like amazing it would be.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to invite you. I have a Facebook page. Invite all the listeners and to go over there. It's called I'm a Misfit and I Love It. And there are over 4,000 people on that page. So
that tells you
how many, I mean, just people who have found it accidentally. Over 4,000 people on Facebook have liked that page. I'm a misfit and I love it. So they're all freaks and they're self-admitted, you know, that they're misfits. They've never felt like they belonged or for some reason somebody has made them feel like they don't belong. So it's another community of people who understand that they're different from or feel different. And I wonder how many people actually do feel quote unquote normal. You know, obviously, Golda, you don't. Leah, you don't. I don't. I know that Cindy, my facilitator here, doesn't feel it. In fact, she said that she was getting a lot of the same things said to her that your grandmother said. Whose grandmother? Somebody's grandmother said to them.
Mine, Leah. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Like, you're not going to marry a rich man. You better watch out. No, yeah.
Right. She got a lot of that as well. So, you know, here's four of us right now who all are freaks or misfits.
Mm.
That's a unanimous vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've been reframing that for myself because, you know, I have no desire to be normal. At least what the normal that's portrayed to us through the media, you know.
Right.
I love the show Mad Men. I don't know if any of you watch that, but I feel like it's like such an interesting snapshot of life back in the 60s. And that's the time period where, I grew up. I was born in 1965, and my mom was like a beautiful, tall, blonde woman. Like she did modeling when she was, younger, and like her whole goal was to get marry somebody that can take care of her and her family. But so I see where these ideas came from, and how she was pulling herself away from it. But I think Betty Draper is like the classic example of like what was expected and how you were supposed to act to be a good mm-hmm. wife and a good woman. And I see what the people who are trying to be normal around me and live these normal lives, like the closer you look at them, you can see the cracks in it all. Like, and you can see how people aren't happy and they're doing a bunch of crap they hate and that they don't want to do and how it doesn't feel good to them. Like, I have no desire to live like that. Like, none at all. I'm committed to feeling good in every aspect of my life. Like, committed 100% to that.
So if you, and Golda, think about this as well, because I'm going to ask you the same thing. If you had a list of three things that our listeners could do so that they could be more comfortable with themselves, be comfortable to fly their own freak flag and not try and live that normal life and with all the cracks that are in it, what would they be?
The biggest one, I think, is a daily practice of appreciation for yourself and your life. I have something that you can get on my website. It's free. It's called the Daily Yum, and it's a practice that I created over the years. I give it to all my clients, and now I give it to everyone because I think it's really powerful. And it's a daily practice of appreciation where you think about three things you appreciate about yourself, you think about things you appreciate about your life, and then you look at what's working, what feels good, what you want more of, what would you do differently. And so
wait a minute. Where would somebody get this?
If you go to my website, which is at www.leahshapiro.com, and then you do /daily-yum,
okay,
you will find it.
All right.
And it's like doing this practice, like really gets your head lined up with what's awesome about your life and, most importantly, what's awesome about you, because I think we don't appreciate ourselves enough on it. Like,
uh-huh.
And it's the hardest part for people. Like, everybody has a hard time doing that part. Like, what's awesome about you? So doing that, I think, is a big thing. Paying attention to how you feel, like, it's so important. Like how you feel is the indicator of whether you're in alignment with yourself or not, like, in alignment with the things that are going to make you the happiest. And it's really simple. Just if you're feeling constricted or expansive, constricted energy, you're feeling, like, stuck, limited, angry. Like, you can feel, if you just think about what constricted feels like, it feels tight, like, there's no wiggle room, you can't have what you want, like, I don't know how this is going to happen, like, that energy, like, it's like you're on lockdown, there's no room for goodness to come in. But when you're in this place of expansion, like, there's room, it feels good, there's space, it's fun, you feel happy, joy, bliss, all those higher level emotions. But there's also, like, it could be as simple as relief, or the possibilities are there. Like, there's space to expand into there. I talk a lot about expansion and how if your energy is constricted and expansive. Because ideally, you want to live in that place of alignment, feeling good. Whatever, and it's different for everybody. What feels good to me may not feel good to somebody else. But the key is to pay attention to how you feel and give yourself permission to go for what feels good to you. And then I guess the third thing would be to pay attention to the voices in your head, your inner critic and where your thoughts go, and just practice self-awareness. Because the more tuned in you are to your inner dialogue and where you're focusing your attention and what your constant thoughts, like your primary thoughts are, and where your inner critic or your bitches, as I call them, pop up and start telling you what you can and can't do and who you're supposed to be, and like the more tuned into that stuff you are, the easier it is for you to create some space between you and it and determine, decide, make choices around what you want to do or not, because those stories can be like limit us and prevent us from really going after what we desire in our life. Mm-hmm. And when you can create some space between you and the stories, everything is different.
All right. So, Golda, give us three ideas that you have for people who want to be healthy.
Sure. Okay. Well, I love Leah's tips.
They may end up being the same too, but that's
right.
I'm
all for all of the things that you suggested. I would say, you asked me tips on how to be more healthy. One I would say is to stop guilting yourself and stressing out about food. That if that's something that you do, if you find that, you're feeling guilty after a meal, you feel guilty during a meal, if this is, for people who are struggling right now with food, to really, when you notice that guilt, to say, I approve of myself, I approve of my food choices. I think this one is from Louise Hay, but it says something like, everything I eat, nourishes my body, to essentially just take some of the stress out of eating. So really, you sort of have to be vigilant. You have to pay attention. And if you notice yourself feeling that guilt, to say, no, I'm not going to feel guilty today. I'm not going to feel guilty for this meal. Everything I eat leads to my nourishment. I love my food. I love my body. However you want to think about it, but just to shift away from that guilt. That's number one. Number two is I have this technique I like to call the body love shower. And all it really is, because I'm a very heady person and I could give everybody a million tips about what to think and what to say. I really am. So I need this tip for myself. I use this myself. So all this is when you're in the shower, to go really slowly. And for example, if you're washing your arm, to just go really slowly and really feel into it. So you feel the feeling of being touched. You feel the feeling of touching. You notice how your body responds to touch. You feel the warmth of your hand. Just really allowing yourself to enjoy something that could typically be very mundane. And because I really see pleasure as a way of crowding out body hatred. So, this is really just to induce pleasure in a very mundane sort of thing that you do every day, and to really try to appreciate your body as a source of pleasure as opposed to something that you wish would look different, so to do that. And I guess last but not least, I would say, I have so many ideas, but, I have 10 things. Well, actually, I should say that I also, if people want more body love tips, I have a blog that I've been writing for nearly 5 years. It has lots of stuff. There's, and in the right-hand corner, there's a thing called Body Love 101 that has some of my top articles about body love. And I also have, you can sign up and you'll get 5 body love tips. So 5 days in a row, you get one tip to try. And that's at bodylovewellness.com at my site. So I really invite anybody listening to just check it out. But I have another tip, but just a sort of easy one. If you're feeling negatively about your body, I used to like affirmations like I am beautiful. But lately I like affirmations like I am beauty. Like I like to just use the noun. I feel like there's a different feeling there. So I think saying something like I am beauty takes the idea of beauty as something from that's outside of yourself and about your appearance to like who you are. It's a different sort of level there. So So I would say, you know, if you start, you know, feeling negative, oh, I hate my belly, I hate my thighs, well, oh, this doesn't fit right, you know, all the kind of things, these negative things that you can think about your body all day long, to instead, you know, take a breath and say, I am beauty, you know, or think it if you can't say it out loud, you know, just say, I am beauty, and repeat it and really use it. And it doesn't have to be beauty. I mean, if you have a business meeting and you're worried about it, you know, you can say, you know, I'm an expert, or I'm a master business person, or, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be about beauty. But if body image is a thing, if you worry about if you're beautiful or things like that, to just say, not only I am beautiful, but I am beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very nice. And when you said the body love shower, I was actually thinking of an energy shower. So taking this I am beauty and just showering yourself with that, stand under that shower for a little while. No, it doesn't have to be a physical shower. It can just be wherever you are to energetically shower yourself with that.
Right. I love that.
I like
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
I like that. So, Leah, let's come back to you. Tell me a little bit more about your program, what you do with people.
Okay. Well,
and
who
comes to you? Who comes to you? Children, men, women, everybody, transgender, who?
I work mostly with women and a few select men. And when it comes right down to it, what I do with my clients is thought and energy work around staying in alignment with what you want to create for yourself. And what that you know, looks like talking about, like, what's going on for you, what you want to create, and, like, how to get out of your own way in your process. Like, what I notice a lot that happens is that people have this dream for themselves, something that they want to do, be, have, and, like, it feels really good at first, and then they get caught up in the how cycle. How is this going to happen? I call it the dream killer. As soon as you're asking how, it's the dream killer. Because, like, you don't know how, and you think you're supposed to know how, and you can't figure it out, and your energy gets really, really constricted, and there's no room for any answers to come in. And that's, like, you get frustrated and overwhelmed and stressed out, and you start putting lots of conditions on having what you want, because everything you can think of involves a lot of money that you don't have and doing things you don't want to do, because it's all based on what you've experienced already. And so I help people get out of that, get away from the dream killer, get out of that loop, and stay in alignment with what they want so that they can actually have it, you know, go from wanting to having. So I do that in a variety of ways. I work with people one-on-one, and I have a class called Unleash Yourself, which I wrapped up at the beginning of July, and I'm about to turn it into a digital product. And Unleash Yourself focused specifically on helping women unleash themselves from the crap that prevents them from really going for it. I love this inner dialogue that happens that, like, just to become really aware of all the stuff that gets in our way that prevents us from doing what we really want to do. Because I got really sick and I got sick of hearing women say, I don't know what I want. But then when we dug a little deeper, it was really clear they did know exactly what they wanted, but they talked themselves out of it. Because they didn't think they could do it, you know, because this self-doubt came up and the overanalyzing started happening and the questioning everything started to come in. And there were other people telling them they can't do it, you know. So I got sick of that. So Unleash Yourself was created to help people free themselves from all that crap. And I have a new program that I'm going to be rolling out called the Vortex of Creation. This is actually the first time I've talked about it. And it's a group designed to help people go from the place of wanting something to having it, and to, like, to really move through that place of how is this going to happen, to step out of that loop and into actually going from having the desire and really wanting something to creating it without getting stuck in the how.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And that feels
awesome.
Really good and expansive to me. Yeah. Yeah. And
so
I work with a lot of people. online, like via Facebook groups and virtual programs, and then I work with a few people one to one.
So if somebody wanted to find out more and or take a course with you, where would they go? Would they go to the Leah Shapiro.com or where?
Yep, go to LeahShapiro.com. And I would say the best thing to do is go there and get on my list, because that's the first place I announce anything that I put out. And if you go there, you can also get I have a great free special report called The Secret to a Life Full of Juicy Goodness, because that's my thing. You know, my tagline is bring on the juicy goodness. And in that report, you can just download it and read it. You don't have to opt in or anything to see if you kind of relate to what I'm talking about, because I only want people to sign up to be on my list who really love what I have to say and they really want to hear more about it. So, but it talks about like what I learned as over, you know, as a coach. I've been a coach since 2003, and I've learned that, you know, we all, the thing that prevents us from doing the good, big things we want to do and living the life we want to live are these stories that say we can't. And I break that down for people, like what specifically prevents us from doing what we want to do. And so that's there, The Secret to a Life Full of Juicy Goodness. And as I said, sign up, join my list. I have a blog as well on my website where I talk about a variety of things. Everything is focused on living an awesome life and feeling good in your life and being self-expressed and flying your freak flag. So there's a lot of great content there too.
So is that the best way for them to get in touch with you, is to go to the website? What about Facebook or email or that?
Facebook, I'm on Facebook. My Facebook page is The Leah Sphere. Leah-Sphere, because I have my own little world. And that's where you find me on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter at The Leah Sphere. And you can reach me by email at info@leahshapiro.com.
Okay. Info.
Yep.
All right. Okay. And Golda, let's get your contact information. If people want to take a course with you or get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yeah, well, so my website is bodylovewellness.com, and I'll just give you all my contact info. So there's that.
Okay.
My Facebook page is facebook.com/bodylovewellness, and I have a Twitter account which is @bodylovewellness, but leave off the last S. You know, similarly, I recommend signing up for my newsletter. You get the Body Love Tips, and then I send out an email about once a week with new blog posts and any other special programs or things that I'm offering. Right now, I just have private coaching, but if people are interested in that, they can always there's a tab on my website that says Get Coaching, and you can sign up for a free consultation. Easy enough. So I'm really happy to hear from anybody. My email address is Golda, G-O-L-D-A, @bodylovewellness.com. I'm pretty easy to find. If you Google Golda and, like, body love or something, you'll find my site and you'll find me and all that stuff.
All right.
So, yeah.
Okay. So now I have to ask, if there, both of you, is there anything that we've missed? Is there something that you want to talk about that we haven't discussed, or that was brought up during the conversation that we didn't pursue and could have? Or have we pretty much got it covered?
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, because I feel like, I don't know where you live, Golda. Do you live in...
I'm in New York, in Astoria, Queens, New York City. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, like, self-love and body image and all of that, and, like, I realize that a lot of times women, like, feel the most judged around other women and around, you know, what they look like. And I decided that I wanted to celebrate my awesomeness with my and my lady friend's awesomeness. And I created a thing called the Luscious Ladies Lounge, which is a group on Facebook, a private group on Facebook. If anyone's interested, any ladies are interested in being part of it, you can always check it out and request membership. But it's focused, it's designed for independent, smart, powerful women who are committed to feeling good in all areas of their life. And we do a live event in the Boston area every couple months, and it's really focused on like celebrating each other and our awesomeness. And so, like, I feel like we need more of this kind of stuff. Do you do anything like that, Golda? Like, do you like do work with women in groups to like learn how to support and appreciate each other?
Yeah, well, I do in sort of group coaching, but I have a group on Facebook actually that is underutilized called the Funky Chunky Meetup of Mostly Brooklyn and Queens, and I really invite anybody in the area to join. And I'm always trying to get things going, but you know, everyone's so busy, it ends up never happening. But you never know; maybe we'll get some new folks in the group, and it'll really get going. So I probably, Funky Chunky Meetup of Mostly Brooklyn and Queens, and I'll be happy to add you. It's a great idea, and it's really important. It really is, appreciating one another, supporting one another. You know, I'm always, whenever I do a consultation, I often ask people what they do for a living and things like that, because I always like to, you know, I like to hire people who are body positive and let other people know about it and things like that. So I think that, you know, that sort of support is really important. And I see I just got a request for Funky Chunky meetup, so it's very exciting already. It's already happening.
I invite you to check out the Luscious Ladies Lounge.
Oh, I will,
because
yeah.
It's a huge community. Like, there's over 300 people in it, and it's really active, and people love to celebrate and high-five each other. But there's also a piece that I think is important is about, like, I created it because I realized that a lot of women I knew had a hard time not only loving and appreciating themselves, but being willing to receive the abundance of the universe and allow the goodness to come to them. And so, like, that's part of the underpinnings of the group as well. Like, we do a lot of celebrating and talking about what's awesome, but, like, also, like, what are you willing to receive? What are you going to let into your life? And we're also really hedonistic, so we like to indulge in all kinds of juicy goodness.
Well, Leah, Cindy just sent me a message that said that your group is so secret it's not found in a search. So how would
really?
People be able to? Yeah, if it's a secret group, you can't find it. So some way people have to be able to get a hold of you to let you know that they want to be included in the group. How do they do that?
Well, if you go onto my website, leahshapiro.com, on the side navigation, there's a button for Luscious Ladies Lounge, and when you click on that, there's a link in the embedded in that page that brings you to the group.
Okay.
So you can request membership.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that. I didn't realize people couldn't find it if they searched it.
Yeah, when it's secret like that, it is hidden. So now we know how to find you anyway, so we can get there. Okay, awesome. Okay, well, I want to thank you both for being with me today. And we have a couple of people waiting very patiently to have a card reading once we're done here. So I welcome you to hang around and listen if you'd like, or jump in if you want. And also to be sure and join us in Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook. I added you both today, so you can get in there and post some of your links and some of your suggestions for the day as well, and join in that conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Cindy said that link bounces back to your page, but she's going to private message you. So maybe you guys can work it out together. She's a wonderful multitasker here. So I want to thank you both very much, and I'm going to leave you on open mic. So if you want to jump in on these readings, you're absolutely welcome to do that. And I'm going to bring in Alcina onto the line. Alcina, thank you for being so patient with us today. Welcome. This is Jan. I understand you have a question.
Yes, like love and relationships.
Okay. I've chosen four cards, and you can choose one of those cards, or I have my deck of cards that we can go through the deck if you'd like, and you can choose one of those. And then you can tell me your question, and we'll just look at the card.
I'll do the deck.
Okay. Hold on here just a sec while I reach over and grab it, and hopefully don't come unplugged. I put it further away from me than I had thought. All right, here we go. Okay, so I'm going to just start pulling cards, and you tell me when to stop. So here we go.
Stop.
Okay. All right. This card is called In the Cathedral, and it shows a young man, a warrior, who's in a suit of armor, and he's standing in the cathedral, and outside is it's obviously autumn or almost winter. The leaves are very dark brown, ready to fall. They're not quite ready to fall off, apparently, but because they're still pretty strong leaves, but it's obviously autumn and not springtime. And he's looking out of this window or doorway at this outside. So one of the things that comes from this card, by the way, he has a large sword that is hanging from his right hip, and his left hand is resting on the wall of the cathedral. The visor is up on his suit of armor, but he is completely dressed in armor. So one of the things about this card is that the person in the card, despite the fact that it shows a young boy or a man, represents you. And there's a question on the, and that's really relevant to what's been going on in today's conversation, because this shows that you are dressed completely in armor, and the only thing that is showing is a right hand, it's the left hand and the left hip. So the left hand is the hand of relationships, of interpersonal relationships and relationships with yourself. And the other part showing is the face. Everything else is covered up from head to toe. And the sword is on that left hip, which is kind of a dangerous place for it to be, because the right side of the body is the side of responsibility, obligation, and duty, and the left side of the body is the intuitive, emotional, creative side. So having the sword on that intuitive side is, it would be better if it was on the right side. And this young man's left hand is resting on his sword. So what it says to me is that you have a lot of armor, emotional armor around yourself, protecting yourself, that you've been hurt in the past, and that you have surrounded yourself with this sacred space, which is this cathedral, that there's a lot of armor there, like I said, and that you're looking out into kind of a bleak view. It's autumn, and there's raindrops on these leaves, so it's obviously raining out. It's not a bright, sunny day. It's not springtime with the flowers growing. So there's an important message here for you, is to work on your own self to be able to remove that armor so that the view outside is going to change. As the view inside of you changes, as you remove the armor and you become more open to relationships and to love rather than to hurt, because this says you've been hurt before and you're protecting yourself. It's that once burned, twice shy thing. You're protecting yourself from the hurt. And it's time to come out of that armor and accept that love is going to have, there's going to be some hurt involved, but it isn't going to kill you. We all fall down and get hurt. We scrape our knees. We scrape our elbows. We sprain our ankles. But those are not life-threatening. And this is the same thing as in relationships, being hurt by somebody or allowing yourself by the story that you're telling yourself to be hurt is not life-threatening. So it's really vital. What is life-threatening is staying in this suit of armor, because then you have nothing. Then you're locked away from the world. You're locked away from your own emotions, and you're locked away from any kind of relationship of what you want, love and relationships from anybody else. So let yourself do some work, do lots of work, and you might want to talk to either Gold or Aaliyah about this, but do the work on accepting yourself, on getting, on removing that armor from yourself, so that you can then step out of it, step out of that cathedral that is surrounding you and protecting you, step into the springtime. And even if you're stepping into fall and winter where the weather isn't that great or it's raining out or whatever, it's not going to matter. That's what a hurt is. It's just like the rain. You know, it comes and goes. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it takes a little more effort. But it still goes away. The hurt goes away eventually. It softens. It sometimes a hurt never leaves, but it softens. And time will help to soothe that. But the most important thing, the critical thing for you, is to come out of that armor and make room for love and relationships, because right now you're locked away. And until you can come out, it's not going to happen. So I would encourage you
I don't agree with that. Like, I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead and you feel free to disagree and say what you wanted to say.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to ask a question.
Well, yes, but I, you know, if you disagree with something, that's perfectly okay. And, but I want you to be aware of that's the card that you chose. So somewhere in there is some truth. And my concern is,
I am not, I don't run away from problems, or I don't stay hurt too long, because I know that is life. You know, there's good days, there's good days, there's bad days. For me to be trapped away, like what you're saying, is kind of a no. Like, and right now, my question was actually about a person. I'm wondering, where do you see things going with him?
Well, I'm going to have to go back to this card because it's the card that came up for you. And that you chose, and the very fact that you're asking the question is indicative that there is something there that, that you're uncertain about. And it's very possible that he's the one who is in this armor, that it's less about you and more about him, and until he comes out of the armor. But one of you, in any case, is in this armor that is keeping you or him blocked off from fully participating in a love relationship.
It's fairly new.
So you don't know about him enough yet. Is that what you're saying? Okay. All right. Well, according to the card, if you're relating this, that it's not to you, that it's then it probably relates to him, because it does show the young man. I didn't realize you were in a relationship, so it could go to either one of you, either you or him, or both of you. So just be aware of it.
It's not a relationship yet either. So
right.
So I really don't know how that pertains to, like, I don't know. I don't.
Okay, well, think about that for this might be a situation with him where he needs to be able to work with things, and he is keeping himself behind armor. So when you are thinking about a relationship,
scared.
Possibly. That's another word to put for it, yeah. And it could, you've got to look at this card because it could be either one or both of you. So it's not just all about him or all about you. Okay, so just think about it as when you're talking with him, when you're with him, when you're working on some sort of a relationship with him, just be aware of this possibility. And
yeah, pretty much like
probably,
he's scared and he doesn't want a relationship, or he's hurt by somebody, or I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know if that's I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that you've got some valid questions there. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounded really questionable.
Yeah, because I'm not certain. Like, my question kind of was answered, but that's fine.
Okay. Well, apparently I didn't understand your question right. But that's all right. So the card that I understood was that you wanted was a question on love and relationships. This is the card that you drew, and it could be related to you, which they always are related to the person asking the question. It can also be related to the person that you are asking about. So let me ask Leah and Golda, do you have anything to contribute to this conversation? Kind of blindsided you there, didn't I?
The thought that came up to me is that you have no idea what, like, it sounds to me like you don't know this person good enough. You don't know what they want. Like, rather than creating a story, which sounds like you're trying to do right now to, like, feel better about the situation, I think you just need to wait it out and be present and see what happens. Because, like, everything right now is just all speculation. You don't really know. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would say, like, stop worrying about him and pay attention to what feels good to you and do that.
Right. Okay, well, Alfina, we have another caller, so I'm going to thank you for calling in, and I'm going to put you back on mute for now, and feel free to go to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversation page on Facebook if you want to talk more about this, okay? All right, thank you. So our next caller is Conetta, and I'm calling her in right now. Hi, Conetta, this is Jan. You have a question? Did I say your name correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So, do you have a question?
I do have a question. I am very, very highly gifted.
Okay.
I'm able to see full-blown visions. I have premonitions. I'm able to see, pick up people. I'm able to pick up people that have passed away. I can go into a chat room and I can pick up on somebody and pick up on their dead husband, their child's hurt knee, anything. Okay? I just developed this a few weeks ago. Okay. Here's the problem. I felt about a week and a half ago that my ex was going to show up at my door wearing a gray T-shirt. We had been broken up for about 3.5 weeks, and I had no intentions of bothering with him anymore. But I seen that he was going to be at my front door with a gray T-shirt on, and it was going to be dark time. Well, don't you know, Friday night he sent me a message on Facebook because I had gotten my phone number changed, and, you know, whatever, we started talking, and I said, do you want to come over? He came over, and he had the gray T-shirt on. Okay, so that vision came true. Now they're showing me, Spirit is showing me as of Saturday afternoon, Dan is moving a flat screen TV, which is his TV, up my steps. They keep showing me. He's moving it up my steps. They keep showing me the same pattern. He's moving the TV up the steps. He keeps going up the steps with the flat screen TV, and it goes into my bedroom. It goes on top of the fireplace in my bedroom, which is an entertainment center. Also, you can put a flat screen TV on top of the fireplace. So my question today is, I would like a heads up and a time frame of when you see Daniel moving into this house, because I'm not real good with time frames here, and I would like to know when this is going to happen.
What makes you think he's going to move in? Just because he's moving a television?
Because of my vision.
All it showed you was him bringing a television into your apartment and putting it in your bedroom. That's all it showed you, right?
That's correct, because that is his TV, and he lives with his stepdad. And he doesn't have many possessions. He has a TV in his dad's house, which is in his bedroom, which he's going to have to get out of his bedroom and put it in my bedroom because he's no longer going to be able to live at the stepdad's house for whatever reason. I don't know. He has clothes and he has a TV. That's it. That's all I know. And it's coming here. That's it. My visions are straight. They come true. I predicted people in prison. I've seen people in prison. Everything, A, B, C. So I know this is going to come true, but my problem is I don't know a time frame. I don't know if this is happening in 5 days. I don't know if this is happening in 2 weeks. All I know is when I had the vision of him with the gray T-shirt, that happened within, I was getting a week's notice in advance of him coming to the door.
Okay, so, I have a question for you. I have several questions. Number one, you got the vision. Have you asked Spirit for a time frame?
No, because I don't mess with Spirit. I do not. This is not something that I have dabbled in. This is something that has just developed a few weeks ago. So
okay, I understand that. But asking Spirit questions is not messing with Spirit. You have every right in the world to ask Spirit questions. If you're getting information from Spirit, then you have a right to have an interactive conversation with them. You do not have to just say, "Oh, I'm being told something and I'm getting partial information." It's okay. It is permissible to ask questions of Spirit.
I'm not getting any information. The only thing that Spirit shows me is a vision. They do not speak to me. I'm not clairaudient. I can smell and I can see. I can see him moving the TV in, and that's because he has to move the TV in here because he's going to be living here. So,
that's not the only reason, Conetta. That is not the only reason that somebody moves something. There may be another reason that he's moving the TV. It does not necessarily mean he's moving in. That is your assumption.
That's what I'm feeling. He's going to be living here. He won't be moving that TV here for no other reason, because I don't want no TV in my bedroom. I don't believe in a TV in my bedroom. So.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you this. What is your question? Your question is the timeline. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. I have chosen 4 cards. I'd like you to pick one of the cards, 1 through 4.
Oh, let's go with number 4.
Okay. Number 4 is called, I can't even pronounce this last word, Red Coquillot, which is a flower. It shows a young man and a young woman walking through a field together with a full moon in the background, and she's carrying this red flower. They're holding hands. They're both looking down at the ground. They're not talking to each other. The only communication or connection they have is their hands holding together. But again, they're both looking down at the ground and they're looking internally. So they are not dialoguing. They're not giving information to each other. They are simply walking together. It doesn't mean living together. It simply means communicating or connecting hand to hand, but not necessarily voice to voice. I'm sorry. And I think that you might want to, this card verify or bears it out, I think you might want to think about the possibility that there is another reason for him bringing the television to you for safekeeping or for whatever reason, that other than him moving in. If him moving in is something that you really want to have happen, I'm not getting a sense of time here at all. This card does not say anything about moving in together. It's walking beside each other along a path. And again, the only connection is their hands, his right hand, which is the side of responsibility, obligation, and duty, so he's taking care of business, and her left hand, which is the side of intuition, energy, or emotions, and creativity, which means feelings. So he's taking care of business, and she is dealing with the emotional impact of things. It does not show them in some sort of a coming-together relationship. They're not talking to each other. As a matter of fact, it almost looks more like a goodbye rather than a coming together. Now, why he would bring your television and say goodbye, I have no idea. But you might think about the possibility that it is not necessarily him moving in. You are looking potentially looking at it from an emotional standpoint, and he's looking at it from a rational standpoint.
Well, so that's allow, what I'm feeling. When they keep showing me him taking the TV upstairs, is that he's moving in here. There's going to be a situation, and he's moving in here.
Okay.
He's made up his mind he's moving in here because I had broken it off 3.5 weeks ago, and he is the one that contacted me and came back and reconnected on Friday night into Saturday.
And then you invited him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you invited him into your apartment.
My 3-bedroom house that I have here.
All right. You invited him in. It isn't that he came. He didn't come in. You invited him in. So the question is, if you're insisting that he wants to move in there, my question to you is, what do you want? And the biggest thing is to be true to what you want and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask Golda and Leah if they'd like to say something here before you go any further. Golda, Leah, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
I kind of feel the same way that Leah recommended the last time, which was, I'm someone who I read tarot, and I'm more comfortable answering these kind of questions sometimes with cards in front of me, to be honest. But I have to say that, yeah, I mean, it seems like if you know your visions always come true, maybe don't invest too much into it and just, kind of see what happens. I mean, it sounds like it's going to happen kind of soon. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. So, my sense of the timing is that this is happening soon. So, I kind of feel like a sort of watch and wait attitude is the only thing you can, it's the only thing you can really do. You really don't have control over the situation necessarily. That's what I would say.
But you do have control over whether someone moves in with you or not. Like,
oh, yeah. No.
He can bring his TV, and you can be like, okay, I'll take care of your TV, buddy. You go do what you got to do. You know,
of course.
Okay, so there's lots of thought there for you, Cornetta. I thank you for calling in, and we're running short of time, so I'm going to have to go ahead and put you back on mute so that we can take care of the... Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so Leah and Golda, I want to thank you again for being with me and for sharing this time today. It was quite delightful, and I had a great time. I hope you did, too. And come over and join us in the Radio Conversations group on Facebook and be able to post your contact information and any other offers that you want to make for the people there, okay?
Sure, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, great. And I want to remind our listeners that you can contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com, that you can find our theme song, I Am Who I Am, at truetrinity.com. And next week, join us as we talk with, let me find out who we have on last week, next week. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Junie Moon Schreiber, who is a transformational coach. So make sure you join us next week as well. And then go to purposetalkradio.com, and you can find archives to previous shows. You can also find information about our upcoming guests, and you can also find those buttons to donate and or to sponsor a show. And in the meantime, until next week, I wish you soul blessings and thanks for being with us.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.